Welcome to Business Beyond the Mic, where we join Carly Van Heerden, CEO and founder of We Edit Podcasts, and her guests as they step behind the mic and deep dive into the business of podcasting. What does it look like to create, launch, and sustain a successful show? How do you find the right guests? And how to successfully build and monetize a podcasting brand? They're uncovering how others got started, unpacking the challenges they faced along the way, the strategies they used, and discovering just how they did it. So you can too. This is Business Beyond the Mic. Together, let's uncover the art of podcasting.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Business Beyond the Mic. I'm your host, Carly Van Heerden. Today on the show, we welcome Steph Taylor. Steph is an online business strategist who helps service-based business owners build profitable and sustainable online businesses that continue to grow even when they're offline. In just 12 months, Steph took her online business from $100K to over $1 million without the trade-off of more hustle and more time. She is also the host of the podcast Imperfect Action, which has clocked over 2 million downloads and counting. On the show, Steph teaches online businesses how they too can reach financial choice, time, and location freedom through her framework that blends strategy, content, sales systems, and mindset. During our conversation, Steph shares openly about her podcasting journey, including some of the biggest fears that she had to overcome. We also dive into her podcast launch strategy, which was able to help her reach number one during launch week. We also get into her experience with the HubSpot podcast network, some of her best monetization tips, and why she places such a high value on her team. Steph has been in the podcasting game for many years, is over 700 episodes in, and has so many incredible insights to share with us today. So let's get into the show. Steph Taylor, welcome to Business Beyond the Mic. It is so great to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Carly. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, this has just been a story that I'm so excited to share with our audience. You have been podcasting since 2018 and you are 700 plus episodes in, which is such an incredible feat. I mean, just to keep going, and you're going to share a lot of tips with us today, and I can't wait to get everything into everything. So why don't you start us off by just telling us a bit more about yourself, your business, your brand, and of course, your podcast?
Yes. So I'm an online business strategist and my brand is myself. It's under my own name. And essentially I work with what I call solo experts and coaches to build businesses that are profitable when they're not at their laptops, because I kind of went down the path of, I was a marketer. I was trying to work with all these clients, also trying to travel at the same time, and ended up in the situation where whenever I wasn't at my laptop, I was stressing about the emails that I was getting from clients. I was stressing about what could go wrong. And then when I was at my laptop and I was in a beautiful country somewhere on the other side of the world, I was feeling really guilty because here I was traveling, but I was cooped up in my Airbnb or in my hotel room and not actually enjoying where I was. So I set out on the path of creating freedom in my own business. And now I'm helping my listeners, I'm helping my audience to create the same freedom in their businesses. And my podcast is called Imperfect Action. So it didn't always used to be called Imperfect Action. But when I rebranded it at the end of, oh my goodness, it was actually about a year and a half ago now. When I rebranded it, I was thinking about what has been the secret sauce to my business success. What do I think is the one thing that changed everything for me? And that has been taking imperfect action. As soon as I stopped overthinking everything, overcomplicating everything, and just taking action and then figuring it out later, figuring out all the details as I went, that was when things changed for me in my business. And that's why the show is called Imperfect Action.
Wow. Now, I love that you talk about that a lot and embracing the mistakes that you made so that you can learn and do it better or regroup, get the right actions going, and then use that imperfect action to get yourself off the ground and towards your goal that you want. And I can totally relate with that traveling and then being on your laptop and thinking like, when are we going to go to the beach? But there's a time for everything too. So sometimes you have to put in the work, even if you are fortunate enough to travel around with your laptop. So I totally get it. But then what was it that inspired you to launch your podcast once your business was off the ground?
So I wanted to start a podcast before I started a podcast, probably about a year before I actually had the idea and got it off the ground. And it all started in, I was working in a co-working space. This is after my first business. I ran out of money in my first business and I had to go and work in a job. And I found myself working in a co-working space. And I sat down across from somebody who is now a very good friend and a very good mentor of mine. And we started talking and he told me, oh, I have a podcast. And this would have been 2016. So podcasts were a thing, but most of us didn't know anyone who actually had a podcast compared with now when we almost all know somebody who has a podcast. At that time, I was a little bit starstruck. I was like, oh, wow, this person has a podcast. And not only did he have a podcast, but he also had a podcasting agency and he was running a podcasting conference, which was the only one of its kind at that stage here in Australia. And he invited me along to this conference and I thought, okay, I'll go. You know, it's one day. I'm not going to lose out on anything by going, but podcasting isn't for me. I don't like my voice. I'm never going to be a podcaster. And I went along to that conference and meeting other podcasters, seeing what the podcasting community was like, listening to people talk about podcasting, talking about their journeys, what they'd done to start their shows, monetize their shows, grow their shows. I left that event thinking, oh, I don't know what my podcast is going to be about, but one day I'm going to have a podcast. And then fast forward about a year and a half, and I was still part-time in the job that I'd been in, but I'd started working with clients as well. And I knew that a podcast was going to be a great lead generator for my business because I'd been writing blog posts, I'd been sharing content, but it was taking a lot of time. And I knew from my own experience with listening to podcasts that if I was listening to somebody and they were in my ears all day, a couple of hours a day, I inherently trusted that person. And I thought, if my listeners listen to me, that's going to build trust with them a lot quicker. And that means that they're more likely to want to work with me. So that was initially why I started it. And obviously my business has been through many twists and turns, but it's still probably, I'd say my podcast is still probably my number one lead generator for my business.
That's incredible. And I think too, like you're saying, it's just a way to build trust and for your audience, your potential customers to connect with you on a different level. And I just love that aspect of the podcast and that it provides you with this incredible connection to your audience so that they can get to know you before they even use your services or buy your courses or make that commitment on their own. So yeah, were there any fears that you had when you were launching this podcast and some obstacles that you had to overcome?
Oh, I think I had all of the fears that everybody who's starting a podcast has. I think the biggest one was, what are people going to think? The people, not so much the people who were already in my business audience, who already followed me to read my business blog posts, but more the people outside of the business world, the people that I knew from real life, the people who I'd work with in my corporate job, the people I'd studied with, the people I'd gone to high school, all of those people. I was like, oh, what are they going to think? That who is she to be starting a podcast? Who does she think she is? Especially here in Australia, tall poppy syndrome is quite a thing. And if you're seen to be doing something that's a little bit, I don't know, a little bit out of the ordinary, people do like to cut you down for it. So I was really worried that people would judge me for doing something that was quite weird and putting myself out there and sharing my own story. That was the biggest fear. There was a little element of, oh, what if nobody listens to this? What if this is a lot of work and it doesn't become successful? And there was also a bit of fear around, have I made the right decision about the name, the cover art, the topic, all of those things that I now know can be changed because I have changed almost all of them. But at the time, I thought everything was set in stone and I was so worried, you know, am I making the right decision? Is this absolutely perfect? And in hindsight, I've changed everything. So it didn't have to be perfect the first time.
Yeah, that's a great lesson to learn too, because it goes hand in hand with your name now, Imperfect Action, it doesn't have to be perfect. You can adapt, you can change, you can pivot even. And I see so many podcasters now involving their audience, their listeners in like, hey, help me choose my new artwork. Or we're rebranding and we want your input. And it's just like such a great way to even build your community when you are doing these big pivots. So yeah, nothing is set in stone. So that's a great lesson to learn. And I feel like that is exactly something that is hindsight 2020. So we have to be kind to ourselves. If we don't know these things beforehand, it's okay to. You're going to learn along the way.
Yeah, I see so many people who have a great idea for a podcast and they're sitting there thinking, oh, but I don't have the perfect name yet and I can't start it because I don't have the perfect name, when they could just get it out there with a good enough name. And if they need to change the name 6 months from now, that's not a huge issue. At least they've been podcasting for 6 months. They've built that podcasting muscle. They've built that audience. Whereas if they're not starting, they're not doing any of those things and not making any forward progress.
Yeah, no, it's totally true. And I think that's the thing. You just have to be gracious to yourself and get started because people want to hear what you have to say. And it's interesting when you talk about your inner thoughts of what are people going to think. But when you listen to your friends, your family, they're actually your initial supporters because they're the ones who are like, oh, look at her. You go, girl. Even though they might not say it to you, it's not that they never want you to fail, right? So they want to see you succeed at what you're doing. And yeah, I wrote a whole big piece this week about why the critic gets more platform these days than the creator does, where the creator is the one who's daring to get out there and to create. So we have to give ourselves kudos for actually doing that in the first place. And just don't worry about the critics.
Oh, absolutely. I think if you're creating anything, but especially if you're creating podcast content, with the critic in mind, thinking, oh, what's this person going to think? Oh, I'd better not say that thing in case this particular person judges me for saying that. Then what you end up creating isn't actually going to be as good or as valuable as if you're creating something with your dream listener, your ideal listener in mind, the person who's loving what you're creating, the person who you can really help.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Never silence yourself for somebody else's comfort. I think that's exactly what you're saying right there, because there's somebody that's going to be able to criticize you for anything you do, whether your video goes viral or doesn't get enough views.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So you just have to stay true to your why and, you know, keep going with that dream that you have in mind for your podcast. And speaking of that, what were some initial goals that you had for your podcast? I know you said it's become your lead gen now, but was there something else that you had in mind when you launched to achieve?
I really wanted my podcast to launch at number one in the top charts, which it's such a vanity metric and it doesn't really mean anything on its own. But I had this deep desire of it has to launch at number one. It's got to, otherwise it's not good enough. So that was a huge one. And then, you know, I always thought, oh, I'd love to hit 100,000 downloads in the first 12 months. Again, a little bit of a vanity metric, but we actually managed to hit that in the first 6 months, which was awesome. And in terms of other goals, yeah, it was really just lead gen. For me, I thought if I can get a couple of clients from this and sell a couple of online courses from this, then that'll be fantastic. And it has now turned into such a big driver of new email subscribers, which then they turn into online course sales, which that's what runs the business. So the podcast it's almost become the engine of my entire business.
Wow. Was there anything specific that you did in that launch to actually reach those goals, like to get to number one in your rankings and get the downloads? Or was it something that happened naturally due to the brand that you've built already?
I hadn't really built a huge brand at that point. What I did have was a small email list. I think I had about 1,000 people on my email list at that stage because I had been consistently creating free content. I'd been driving people to that free content. I had a freebie that they could sign up for and I collected their email address as a result of that. So I had that small email list. But what I actually did was I almost co-created the initial first 10 or 20 podcast episodes with my email list, with my small Instagram audience, and with people it was mainly relevant Facebook groups. So at that stage, and I think even now it would still work, but what I did was I went into certain Facebook groups, certain business Facebook groups. And I asked them, I said, I'm starting a podcast and the episodes are going to be 5 to 10 minutes long where I'm talking about relevant marketing issues. What questions do you have or what struggles do you have when it comes to marketing your business? And I got big, long lists of things that people were struggling with. So then I picked some of the top ones and those became my first couple of episodes. And then when I recorded and published those episodes, I went back and commented on that person's comment. And I said, hey, I've done an episode on this. Here's the link to listen to it.
Wow.
That really helped. The other one that really helped was because I had that email list and I told them that a podcast was coming, but I didn't tell them what the podcast name was. They couldn't go and find it and subscribe until the certain date. I don't know if you know this, but the way that the top charts ranking works in Apple Podcasts is it's the number of new subscribers over the last 7 days, but it's a weighted average. So the most subscribers in the last 24 hours, that counts more than the subscribers 7 days ago.
Right.
So I wanted as many people as possible to subscribe in those first 24 hours, ideally in those first 48 hours.
Yeah.
And that was where I was emailing my list. I was showing up on social media and the call to action was subscribe to my podcast.
Wow.
And that helped to get into the top charts.
That is a golden strategy and it makes so much sense because it's whatever is happening and the activity on your show in those first days is what's going to get you into the charts. And then from there, you're just sailing. It's so that's amazing. And speaking of the strategy, I know that you are part of the HubSpot network. Can you tell us a bit more about what that journey looked like and how it benefited you as a podcaster?
Yeah. So I got into the network almost, I think it was about a year and a half ago, actually. It was just before I rebranded the show. And I'd heard about this new network on a couple of podcasts I listened to. I knew about HubSpot. I'm a marketer. I love what they do. And I thought, that's interesting. I wonder how I could become part of the network. And they weren't anywhere near the size that they are now when I reached out to them and I applied to become part of the network and I went through the whole process of becoming part of the network. And while I was going through the process, I thought, there's no way that they're going to want a show that's as small as mine, because some of the shows on the network are huge. We're talking some of the biggest business podcasts in the world. And I went through the process. I didn't hear back from them for a little while. And I thought, they've obviously decided that I'm not a good fit. And then I heard back from them and I joined the network. And that was when all of the imposter syndrome that had kind of taken a backseat for a long time because I was cruising in my business, suddenly it was like, who am I to be part of this network? Who am I to be doing this? All of those things came back. And it's actually been a really fun lesson for me of learning to play at a bigger table and learning to almost push my show to become the grown-up version of what it was. It didn't matter so much if I missed one of my 3 episodes a week because I was so busy. Since I've joined the network, I have not missed a single episode because it's become such a serious grown-up version of the show.
It's like your accountability has just skyrocketed as well because you are putting your foot in the game and now you got to play. So.
It's a real show now. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's good to hear that that imposter syndrome shows up even though you feel like you've conquered it. And you know what? You can do it again and just keep on going. But it's amazing to see that there are these places that can help you feel like you're in a community of the big players and give you a seat at the table and allow you to make your show the best that it can be. Which, yeah, I think it's relevant for anybody starting out. And if they know that's the direction that they want to go, pursue it. It could be one of your goals as a podcaster. So just put it in the books, do what you can to get there and yeah, reap the benefits of it, I would say.
Yeah. And it's funny because the reason I joined was because I thought, well, this will be great exposure for my show. It's monetization, all of that. But the unexpected benefit has been the people that I've met through the actual network. Living here in Australia, we don't have that many podcasting events, but through the network, I've been able to go to events in the States. I've been able to sit down at dinner with other people who are in the podcast network who I wouldn't normally be sitting next to at a dinner table having those conversations with. And that's been such an unexpected benefit, just the people that I've met through it.
Yeah, No, that's incredible, because we always say that we provide community for our audience and our listeners, but can't forget about ourselves as the podcaster to also find community, people that you can talk to and bounce ideas off of and just chat all things podcast. So yeah, that's incredible. But speaking of monetization, I know that this is your sweet spot. And you always say, if you're not monetizing your podcast, it's just another thing on your to-do list. So why don't you share with our listeners a bit about your strategy to monetize your podcast and what you've been seeing as a successful strategy for new podcasters, old podcasters, and in between?
Yeah. So I've had a bit of a different approach to what a lot of podcasters have when it comes to monetizing their shows, in that sponsorship and ads are really a relatively new income stream for me. The first way that I monetized it was through getting leads for my service-based business at the time. Now it's the biggest lead generator into selling my online courses. So I've realized I can sell my own products and effectively sponsor my own show in some ways and make a bigger return on the time and the energy that goes into producing the episodes than if I'm always promoting other people's products. And the content, so because my episodes are mostly solo episodes, the content there that I'm sharing is strategically designed to move somebody closer to buying from me. It's super valuable content. I'm not sitting there, it's not a sales pitch. But the content is still moving them to the point where they need to be ready to buy from me. And then from there, I'm getting them onto my email list where I give them more value. There's more content. And then I'm asking for the sale. So it's a slower lead time, but it's been such an effective strategy. And because most of what I sell is a digital product of some form, it's mostly courses, programs, it's very scalable.
Yeah. And you have some incredible podcast courses too, which we will link for everyone in the show notes. If you are looking for a journey, some guidance on it, Steph has some amazing ones to share. And yeah, I think it goes hand in hand with what we are sharing on the show here. Everybody's journey is unique, but there are so many resources out there to help you and help you find the success that you also want to have. But yeah, so we have chatted so much about your journey and I just loved sharing everything with the listeners. But now I want to have a little bit of fun and do our quick fire 4 questions.
Ooh.
So just answer with whatever pops to mind. You can expand or just say one word. It's up to you. But yeah, so let's get into that.
Okay.
This one is my favorite. So how has podcasting changed the way you do business or life?
Oof. The connections that I've made, the people I've met. Yeah.
Yeah. No, those are priceless.
Yeah. And also another one that pops into mind is it's made me a lot more comfortable with speaking into a microphone, whether that's on stage, whether that's at an event and I'm asking a question in the audience. It's made me a lot more comfortable with my voice, where previously I wasn't at all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you don't even think about that benefit until you are a few episodes in and you've become comfortable with your voice and you realize this is how everybody hears you anyway. So
yeah,
it doesn't matter. Amazing. So what's one non-negotiable investment that you've made for your podcast?
Oh, my team. So now all I have to do is outline the episode and record the episode. My team does everything else from editing it through to writing the emails that go to my email list, to turning the video snippets into reels, to publishing all of that. So that's been the most helpful investment.
Absolutely. That's the way to go. And then for this one, what is your biggest podcasting fail or learning lesson that you've had along the way?
The biggest lesson has been not going too broad with my topics. So initially when I first started out, I was talking about everything marketing related without really any strategy behind why I was sharing what I was sharing. And now I've noticed, if I bring in a little bit of focus, I make it less about the 5 tips and the this is what you have to do and share a little bit more of my story, a little bit more of my experience about a bit more of a narrow area, then that's going to resonate a lot more than if I'm just scattergun approach all of the different topics.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because then you can be more specific even with who you're helping. If you go too broad, then you're serving everybody and nobody at the same time, instead of, like you said, focusing on what you're great at, and that way finding the audience that you can serve through it. So yeah, great advice.
Yeah, actually that brings me to the second lesson, which was not being clear on who the listener was at the start and trying to talk to too many people.
Yeah, and my content director always says, you shouldn't be making a podcast for everybody. You should be focusing on your people.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, if money or time were not an issue, what would be next for your podcast?
If money or time weren't an issue, I would probably invest in a bigger studio, better studio, more support for our video production, video editing, and really doubling down on the YouTube strategy as well. Because I know there are a lot of people who do just consume podcasts on YouTube. And while in the last year we've started doing video versions as well, and my team edits the video and we upload that to YouTube, there is so much more that we could be doing that we just don't have the resources for.
Yeah, absolutely. And video is so versatile because you can use it on so many different platforms, so many different bite-sized content versions and everything that you can create too. So absolutely, I always say that is, yeah, that's what we started out with and we're continuing it with it. But you're right, it requires strategy and manpower and we're busy with your business and things, so you can't always focus on doing all of those things all at once. So yeah, I agree totally.
Yeah, you can't do all of the things and do them all really well at the same time, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, agreed. Well, Steph, it's been incredible to have you on the show today. And thank you so much for sharing so openly about your journey and your strategies and everything. And yes, I just loved having you here and connecting and making another valuable connection for me as a podcaster as well. And just love learning from everything that you've been doing.
Oh, thank you very much. This has been a fun chat to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, everybody, thanks so much for tuning in and we will see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Business Beyond the Mic with your host, Carly Van Heerden. We love having you join us on this journey of uncovering the art of podcasting. If you found value in today's episode, we'd love to hear from you. Leave us a rating or review and let us know what resonated with you or what didn't. Your feedback really helps us make this podcast the best that it can be. And be sure to connect with us across all our social platforms. Join us again next time as we step behind the mic with another amazing guest and dig even deeper to uncover the art of podcasting. Until then, see you next time. This is a We Edit podcast production.